sending out sparks over 38 states, the Canadian plains, and the tequila fields of Mexico.
A program most deserving of a grand introduction.
The Nocturnal Journal.
The Talk of the Town. WGN Radio 720.
With your guide, Dave Hoekstra.
Daytime turns me off and I don't need maybe.
Welcome to Nocturnal Journal. We're still here, Dan. Here we are. We got a good show for you tonight. We got our friend Nicholas Tremulous, singer-songwriter, is going to talk about a new club he's opening in Wicker Park tomorrow night. We're going to talk about the new U.S. Pizza Museum. Did you know that there's a U.S. Pizza Museum, Dan?
You know, I always assume there's a museum for everything. It's good to know that pizza falls within that parameter.
And our first guest is on the phone, David Brown, Chief Preservation Officer and Executive Vice President of the National Trust for Historic Preservation. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Brown. We want to pay tribute to Bill Murtaugh.
Dave, it's great to be with you. And Bill is one of the heroes of the preservation movement, so I'm glad to talk with you about Bill's impact.
Bill was the, I talked to him once. I talked to him after when they were rebuilding after Katrina. We talked about preservation down in New Orleans. But first keeper of the National Register of Historic Places, what does that mean?
Well, that is the individual who maintains the federal government's listing of what's worthy of preservation. And Bill was the first person to fill that role. I always thought it was one of the great titles, one of the great job titles, the keeper of the National Register. It sounds very curatorial, but Bill treated it very as very much he was asking people to tell him what was important. And he started this as part of his work to set up the federal preservation program in the 1960s with the passage of the 1966 Historic Preservation Act. And he really set the tone for how we identify what's important in our cities and towns and countrysides all across the country. And we owe him a debt of gratitude because he really turned to the communities and said, tell us what's important to you. And let's learn what makes your town unique, and that's the approach he took. And it was different than sort of the traditional way that you saw in Europe, maybe where a lot of central authority told people what was important. Here, Bill turned to communities and said, "Tell me what's important."
Bill passed away October 28th at the age of 95. So I mean, when I was talking to him, I was looking at my notes. He was still clicking and doing stuff at age 80 when I talked to him about New Orleans.
You know, it's great. Bill had a career that spanned, over half a century. He was one of the early people who started working and building a movement, a national movement in preservation. He worked twice for my organization, the National Trust for Historic Preservation, the second time as a vice president of programs there. So he essentially had my job about 40 years before I had it. But he also helped establish preservation education programs at places like Columbia and University of Maryland and the University of Hawaii. He wrote one of the definitive books on preservation, Keeping Time, the History and Theory of Preservation. And so he just continued to work even after he stepped down as being the keeper of the National Register. And he just inspired generation after generation of preservationists.
I brought in my copy of Keeping Time, and I was thumbing through it, and there's one quote in here, maybe if you can elaborate on it. The Bill writes, "It has been said that it's best preservation engages the past in a conversation with the present over a mutual concern for the future." There's a lot there.
Well, there's a lot there, yeah. And that's perfect. I think one of the reasons that old places matter so much is the continuity between past and present and future. And you know, we look to the past. What can the past tell us, and what can it bring to our present day? But also, how do we take these places and turn them into places of relevance today for future generations? And that's, you know, I think that's the best description of preservation. It's one of the reasons, I think one of the critical reasons why saving old places is important, because these places matter in providing us not only memory and identity, but that continuity that I think is critical.
It's the I've seen this term used, the cultural ecology of America is what you guys do.
That's right. And it's interesting because in some, you know, in sort of a more traditional way, people just looked at great architecture. And, you know, Bill came along and said, you know, let's look at roadside attractions. And so now we have things on the National Register like the, Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox roadside attraction, or the Shell service station that looks like a Shell in North Carolina. And you can just, you know, he was saying these places are important too in telling us about who we are as a people. And they're important locally, but they're also important in a national context.
He was an advocate of the bottom-up philosophy. You and I talked about this before the show. Like you said, always look of the programs in terms of the local significance. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. The way the Register is set up, there you can have a property that's locally significant, significant because of state or at a national level. And it would have been easy to sort of put a hierarchy in those, but Bill never did. He said that the local significance was just as important as the nationally significant places. And so he would ask people to look in their communities and find places that were important, that defined their communities, and nominate those to the National Register. And it didn't have to be the places that everyone knew. But it could be places that were important just in that community, or because of different stories in that community. So it didn't have to be monumental architecture, which is how many people think of preservation. But Bill was trying to say we have a range of districts and landscapes and buildings that are important and tell us who we are as a nation, where we've been and where we can go. And those were places worthy of the federal government collecting information about them and saying these places are on the National Register of historic places. And it was, as Bill thought about it, it was anything worth preserving should be listed on the register. So he was very inclusive in his approach to the register, and it's that approach has remained with the National Park Service, which administers the register, up to today.
Personally, was there an aha moment on a project he worked on or an effort he got behind where you said, "Wow, I really get what he's trying to do here"?
It's interesting because I knew Bill and got to know Bill in the 80s in Virginia when I was working in Virginia, and I knew that even though he was he worked at the national level, he was still very involved in the town where he lives at the time, Alexandria, Virginia, and he very much helped that community. And then he stepped up at the state level and helped us in terms of identifying a range of buildings and places to work on at the state level in Virginia. And I thought, you know, this is Bill at his best. He's, you know, here by this time he was already an icon in the preservation movement, but he was very much focused on making sure that people could look in their communities and see what's important. And so I don't have a particular building in mind, but it's an approach he had that I came to understand by working with him, that it's not just the nationally significant monumental pieces of architecture or the Mount Vernons or the Monticellos of the world, but first of all, it could be something like Chicago Pile One. It was interesting. I went back and looked at what were the first things on the listed on the register in Chicago when Bill first took over, and it was things like the Robie House, you know, the Frank Lloyd Wright House, which you would expect, and Hull House, the Settlement House. But it was also the site of the first nuclear reaction. So the first nuclear reactor. And this was a story that's obviously a critical part of our history. And that was among the very first places in Chicago that was listed on the National Register, and it was sort of indicative of Bill's breadth of approach, that he'd not only look at a Frank Lloyd Wright house and say, "Well, obviously this is important and we're saving," but he'd say the place where the first nuclear reaction happened is also worthy of saving, because think about how much that changed our world.
Okay, we're going to take a break. I'm going to ask you to hang on for a little bit longer, because we'll bring on Mike from the world's largest ketchup bottle. And that's how that was kind of my entrance into Bill. So I kind of like you guys to talk about that. So don't go away on Nocturnal Journal on WGN. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN. And on the phone, we have David Brown, Chief Preservation Officer and Executive Vice President of the National Trust for Historic Preservation. We're paying tribute to Bill Murtaugh, King of Preservationists. Joining us, Mike Gossman, President and CEO and Big Tomato of World's Largest Ketchup Bottle down in Collinsville, Illinois. How you doing, Mike?
Hi, guys. Yep, it's a pleasure to join you.
Well, I wanted you to be here with David because years ago, that's how I learned through Judy about Mr. Murtaugh. So this is a great example of, in the New York Times old bit on Bill, it ends with a quote from Dr. Murtaugh saying, "You know who's going to look after the hot dog stands of America and stuff." So, how did he come into your world?
And who's going to look after the giant bottles of ketchup too?
Yeah. So, how did his work influence what you did down there in Collinsville?
Well, yeah. My partner in crime, Judy DeMoise, who initiated the project to save the world's largest ketchup bottle here in Collinsville, she was actually a student of Dr. Murtaugh's at the University of Hawaii. And she was just incredibly inspired by him. He left such an impression on her that that prompted her to get the ball rolling to save the world's largest ketchup bottle.
What was the spark for both you guys? I mean, when he connects with somebody like that, what was it that made such an impression?
I think it was just his passion. It was his passion that was just all-encompassing. I mean, it's hard to say when you meet somebody that is just so inspiring like that, you just learn from them and you take it with you, and then it inspires you to continue the process and spread it even further.
Dave, I would agree. Bill was he had the intellectual rigor that he needed to be the keeper of the National Register, but he had this gregarious personality, and his love for these places came through. He traveled a lot, and so he saw America, and he saw these places like the world's largest ketchup bottle, and those were places that he knew were important to those communities, but they also told the story of America in a larger context. And so but Bill had this great personality that he just connected with everybody.
You know, he was not stodgy about being frozen in time. I mean, two things we talk a lot about on this show are Route 66 and blues. And people always kind of want to just frame that in one. You know, people always get upset if there's change on Route 66. And again, when I talked to him after New Orleans, after Katrina, he told me different generations have different reasons to put premium on different things. The essence of life changes. So, I mean, you know, he was very progressive. He didn't want to put things in just one frame, you know?
That's exactly right. And Route 66 is a great example. We've been working recently to make sure that route is saved, but it's got to be saved for the current generation. And what does it mean today? And I think that's what Bill would have liked.
Yeah, one thing exits and another thing comes aboard, you know. It's kind of interesting, kind of exciting if you look at it that way. So what's the update with are you still doing the festival down there, or did you put the brakes on that at the world's largest ketchup bottle?
Right, yeah. Yeah, we actually have retired the ketchup bottle festival. It was, we had done it for 20 years, and we became a victim of our own success. It got to be so successful and so big and so popular that we had such a small little committee that produced it every year that it finally got to where we were like, you know, we can't keep doing this, and we don't want to keep doing it and to not have it be as good as it can possibly be. So we decided to go out on top and retire it. But that also opened up the door for smaller events and activities throughout the year. Instead of doing one big blowout bash, we've started to do little things throughout the year. And one thing that we're really excited about doing is an Illinois Route 66 tour gathering at the Catch a Bottle in June. I believe it's the second weekend of June. And that's one of the things that we're really high on right now is celebrating Route 66.
Okay, we got about 2 minutes left. David, where's this going to go? I mean, you wrote a great tribute to Dr. Murtaugh, and you said one of his dreams is to have a national land use policy and cabinet-level post of cultural affairs to help recognize and protect our heritage for future generations. What's, in a brief statement, where's this going to go in the future?
Well, I think Bill's ideas are just as fresh today as they were 50 years ago. And we obviously have to work in the context of the politics that we're given today. But I think we're looking at helping communities, cities, think about what policies they have in place to save their historic places. I think sort of in Bill's bottom-up approach, we're going to start working with those cities and counties and towns to find policies for preserving what matters to them and see that bubble up from the ground up. So that's where we'll be focused. And I think that's a really important tribute to Bill's work.
That's what we did with the Catch a Bottle. It was a complete bottom-up grassroots effort to think that, you know, when Judy first moved to town, she came at the right time when the property had been sold and the future was in question. And she said, wait a minute, somebody needs to save this. And it worked its way up. And in 2002, the Catch a Bottle was named to the National Register.
Yeah, that's great. The Register now has, correct me if I'm wrong, David, 93,000.
That's right, 93,000 listings, and that represents about 1.4 million individual places. So there are a number of districts in there, but all across the country, and everything from Roby houses to the world's largest ketchup bottle, okay, and everything in between.
Well, thanks, you guys, for joining us on a Saturday night. Thanks, Mike. Say hi to Judy.
Yep, I sure will.
Thanks for staying up, David, on the East Coast there.
Glad to do it. Thanks so much.
We'll be back to talk about pizza after David Jennings in the news on WGN.